I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Longer and more rambling than Anthony Mackie's speech at the Game Awards is VGC, a video game podcast with me, Jordan Midler, and Chris Scullion. This week, a few things have happened, namely the Game Awards, the first trailer for Grand Theft Auto 6. But first, how are we doing, Chris? It's been so long since I've seen you, brother.
It's been a very long time.
Yeah.
I'm feeling rather rough today.
Yeah, this is the Radio 4 episode of the VGC podcast. We're down here. We're talking about the Game Awards and the medium of games in general.
It's one of those ones where, like, one of the joys of being based in the UK usually is we get to cover all the news in the morning before Americans wake up. This is one of these karma events where we have to, our Game Awards started at 12:30 after midnight, and then we didn't finish till like 4:30. and it's now like mere hours later, and we're up the next day, like, doing the podcast. So I feel like I've gone 60 minutes in the ring with Christopher Judge. I'll rephrase that. I feel like I've been fighting with Christopher Judge for 60 minutes.
Well, you are ringing Christopher Judge aside. I know I'm preaching to the choir here because you have a human child, but it's one of those things. The dogs needed to get up and get out. So right. I just had to get up anyway. So I'm struggling to actually open my eyes in the face of these studio lights because Jesus.
Luckily, my wife usually insists adamantly that we both get up and help the kid get ready for school.
How dare she?
But it's outrageous. Like this 50-50 thing, it just won't work. but like amazingly, like last night, like a Christmas miracle, like the angel's star shone through the window, and she said, "Just sleep in this morning, I'll get her ready." And so I just woke up like 20 minutes before we started. So that was good. But
very nice. That's very good of her. Shout out to Mrs. Scullion, whose identity will protect for her own reputation. You know, don't want to be known as the person married to Chris Scullion.
Let's
crack on with this because we've got an absolute mountain of stuff. This will not be a comprehensive list of everything announced at the Game Awards because there was loads. If you want that, you can go to VGC for all of the announcements, or check Twitter, or check anywhere else social media is available. So I've picked out some highlights and some surprises. God of War Ragnarok Valhalla has been announced and it's out next week. The free DLC expansion will add a roguelike mode to the game. Chris, this was a pretty surprising one. Let's peel the curtain back slightly. Before this show, we had a good idea about 90% of the stuff that was going down, including arguably the biggest announcement, but this one we didn't really see coming.
No, even to the point that before we were saying, will Sony have anything at all? And so we weren't really expecting anything from Sony. It's about as probably as good as we could have hoped from Sony in the circumstances, because like the situation just now with Sony is there aren't a lot of big kind of first party exclusives like made by Sony themselves that we know of yet. And they usually save these for their own state of play things. So I wasn't expecting anything big at the Game Awards, but this is probably the next best thing, is like big deal, unknown DLC for one of the biggest games of last year, or the year before even. And it's out in like 5 days or something. So
there'd been chat about a God of War DLC, but when it was a frame to me, it was always like an actual story expansion. That seems more like so in the game, there's these like Muspelheim trials. Mm-hmm. You go to one realm and it's all about it's like trials of strength and things like this. It's like trying to beat as many enemies as you can in a certain amount of time. It's pretty arcadey. It's pretty old school God of War compared to the other stuff, which is very like slowly walking and going boy and like going through wee cracks and stuff like that. But yeah, this is it's a cool one, cool announcement for something that it's a weird kind of trend with Sony, because Returnal got the same thing. It got like a roguelike update. Game developers just love roguelikes. They must be like, oh, can we just do one? We've got all these assets. Can we just do one?
See, I can't stand them either. It's like I always want to be making progress, and I mean, yeah, like steady forward progress, not two steps forward, one step back, four steps forward, three steps back. I want to just kind of go on with it. I've only got so many hours of the day. I appreciate a lot of people like it because it's like means longevity and like you get your money's worth and stuff like that. But nah, not for me. I like multiple games instead of one game that you play for ages.
Fair enough. Do you like confusing, not quite game, not quite movie, not quite experiences? Because I've got one for you.
It's my favorite next genre. Story,
Hideo Kojima showed up with Jordan Peele of Nope fame to introduce OD, which we know is previously known as Overdose. It might still be. Might still stand as Overdose, stand for Overdose, because Kojima was on Twitter and he was like, OD doesn't stand for open the door. It's like no one in a million years would have guessed that it stood for open the door. Kojima, they appeared on stage and talked for 45 minutes 50 minutes, an hour and a half, about
a couple of
not
hours.
A lot. What do you think of this? This was cool, went on too long for me.
Yeah, I think the teaser itself was interesting, just purely in terms of showing off the tech, because the teaser didn't really show a lot. It just showed people shiting themselves. Not literally, just their faces.
that would have been great. Proper Japanese toilet humour of people just going, I'd love that.
It was like a bunch of faces of people being scared. Like, Udokir was one of them, which is interesting. Like the last one they had was like a wee boy, and like just had the most terrified look on his face. Like at one point, I was like, this is disturbing.
Was that not the lassie for the new It films?
Oh, was it a girl?
The ginger lassie? I think it was her. I don't actually know.
Sorry,
all these wee people just look like they were on Stranger Things to me. I have absolute face blindness.
I should have put this disclaimer in at the start, but just for those who missed, didn't get the memo at the start of this podcast, we're shattered. So there's going to be like plenty of mistakes in this, more mistakes in this podcast than usual. So if I say that a popular actress is a wee boy, then just let it fly.
Do you know where they can send that, Chris? They can send their feedback. They can send it right fucking there.
Just for the audio listeners, he's pointing to the bird. The old Austin 316. Yeah. I'm curious about it. I think I get the feeling it's just called OD now, because I think they've realised that the title may be problematic. Like even last night when we were working on the article, and I jumped on YouTube to look, I typed in Overdose. And I instantly got like a thing from the Samaritan saying, "Are you okay?" Blah blah blah. Blah. Okay, that this isn't going to work for this game. Like going forward,
the
like,
same thing. Everyone's going to
search Overdose and get that.
The same thing used to happen for Suicide Squad, obviously, because this was before it was like a big brand. But back in the day, when you would search stuff about the Suicide Squad, when it was just a comic book, it'd be like, "It's okay. We're here to help," kind of thing.
I'm looking forward to Kojima's Death Stranding spin-off, jumping in front of a train. That'll be going good.
And the sequel, Gubbin 40 Ibuprofen. this was a Jordan Peele is in Kojima's roster of directors that he likes to kick about with, and he says there's more collaborators, more legends that he will collaborate. So
we'll Del Toro, see. Then?
Yeah, I mean, probably Del Toro. Churches will do a song for it. It's all the usual. Timmy Chalamet has probably been scanned for his little digital archive.
I would quite like, because if he's getting loads of people involved, and Jordan Peele's talking about how it's revolutionary and what this guy's doing is like nothing you've ever seen. In my head, I'm now picturing like a almost like a horror anthology type thing, almost like a Twilight Zone-y, like Tales from the Crypt, Creepshow type thing, where multiple different collaborators get involved in wee tiny episodes of one thing, and all he's doing just now is showing off the tech, and like that tech will be incorporated in different interactive stories or something. That's complete guesswork, but you can't have that many people involved in just one project. I don't think it feels like this thing's going to be a multi-story affair, but that's just a hunch.
It'll be interesting to see what the actual game portion of this this offering turns out to be. Sorry, there's a for the audio listeners and video listeners, there's a large dog who's floating about in the office with me, and she just keeps moving her nose towards stuff and slightly nudging it to the point where I'm like, she's gobbed a full advent calendar. Ren, do you want to be on the podcast? Say hello. There you go. She said hello. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. She's also going to be part of OD, I'm proud to announce. Surprising that this is what he was here for, and not a word about Death Stranding 2, the game that he announced at the Game Awards last year. Was that... I mean, I know it was surprising to me because I had a story written for it, but what, did you expect him to do a Lex Luger, if you will, at the start of the show? He's talking about OD, comes back out for the end and does Death Stranding. He's changed all his gear.
He just came back with glasses and a fake beard on. This is the Xbox Kojima. I expected Death Stranding more than I was expecting OD. OD sounds like, and clearly still is, the sort of thing that's ages away. Based on that non-trailer.
It's a Word document where they're just like putting wee bits and pieces into it.
Exactly. It's like proof of concept. My first day with Unreal Engine 5. I would have expected Death Stranding 2 more than I would have expected OD, but you know that this guy, Keely, will have him turning up to the opening in an envelope, so that he'll be there next time. So we'll see what happens.
We certainly will. Next announcement, probably the biggest one in terms of stuff that not a lot of people knew about. Marvel's Blade is in development at Deathloop Studio Arcane Leon. Bill Roseman and Dinga Bacaba were at the show. Dinga was dressed as Blade, essentially, which we've got to love. On the Xbox Wire blog post, Dinga said, as a kid of mixed origins, I felt a special connection to Blade, a hero with dual heritage himself. The opportunity to put our spin on the character is a dream of mine and a challenge that our team will embrace with a passion. We couldn't be happier to put players in Blade's boots and become the champion of his hometown of Paris, one stake at a time. It's a third person action game, owing to the fact that it's by Arcane Leon, which is a Bethesda studio, which is a Microsoft studio. This is a Xbox exclusive, also on PC. Pretty exciting. That's got a big pop in the room.
Yeah, I'm up for it. I like Blade. I like the general, the Blade series, of which it's been pretty nice. Like
Triple H is the Blade series, yeah.
Exactly. I frequently say some motherfuckers always trying to ice skate uphill like on regular times. One of the greatest lines in cinematic history. the dramatic final line in the first Blade movie—it's like so bad. I'm up for it. I'm concerned that they won't have anything that matches the kind of nightclub scene from the first one, which is like one of the coolest scenes in film history, I think. But anything with Blade in it, I'm up for. I believe there was a game back in the PlayStation 2 days, maybe. There was certainly a Game Boy game because I played it recently for the book, and it's hopeless. I'm up for a nice Blade game.
Blade has PS2 energy to me. That's like a PS2 action game, like a hack and slash. Also, right, it's similar to Wolverine. If you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's just one with a really slow camera that takes ages to rotate.
Yeah, with a Wesley Snipes like doing terrible quips that just repeat over and over again. The art style from the trailer seems cool. It doesn't seem like it's going for like a hyper real kind of thing. It's got pretty stylized, but that's Arcane's bread and butter, so this is exciting. This is one that so there was swirling chat prior to the show about Arcane, and it was like, well, they're going to do Dishonored 3, like what's happening? But I think Blade's an interesting direction, and Marvel games, man, they're really it's amazing to me that it took them this long to be like, oh, here's the strategy, let's just give the best developers in the world access to our IP, and then we'll just get a suite of great games.
It's going to be good. I've never really been into the Dishonored series. No, I don't like it. I just never started it. So if it had been Dishonored 3, I would just have had like a blank face because it's not a series that means anything to me. So on a purely selfish level, I would take Blade over that all day long. Just purely because it's something I'm familiar with. So yeah, I'm up for that. It looks the part, and I'm coming off of Deathloop. They're riding high just now, so hopefully they'll do
it. Definitely. This wasn't even intentional, but I've got Blade on my jumper right here. There he is. Okay, it's time. Let's talk about it. Sega announces that reboots of five classic series are in development, in a trailer that shocked the Criscillion maniacs around the world, Sega has announced that Jet Set Radio, Streets of Rage, Golden Axe, Shinobi, and Crazy Taxi are all getting revivals. They're in various states of development. Chris, you were this was like when this was CM Punk coming back for you. Take us through this.
Pretty much was like it started with a pretty cheesy trailer, and I was like, Sega, what are you doing here? Because I was under the impression they sent invites teasing this new future to mostly fighting game community people on Twitter, which made me think it was going to be a new Virtua Fighter. So when Jet Set Radio came on, I was like totally unexpected. I was expecting Virtua Fighter. So to then, right in a row, get Jet Set Radio, then Streets of Rage, then Shinobi, then Golden Axe, and then Crazy Taxi. I was just like, that's... One of those would have been brilliant, like five of them in a row, and then claiming there's more to come. It's just like, woofed. It reminded me of their back in the PS2 days, there was a series called Sega Ages. It was mostly released in Japan, but they brought some of them out like in the West, and it was like awful remakes of like great games. But it was still a novelty at the time, because back then it was like, oh, it's a polygonal Golden Axe. Oh, okay. Oh, it's a shittier version of Outrun, but a new one I've never played before. Okay. So it gives me that vibe, but with a they might not be bad games kind of feeling. Yeah. So I'm up for that. New Crazy Taxi will always, well, it needs offspring in it, but other than that, I'm up for it. Streets of Rage looked a bit ropey, but we've already had Streets of Rage 4, so I'm already had that itch scratch. So if this one ends up being bad, we can just pretend it didn't happen. It could be like a final fight streetwise of the series. But yeah, I couldn't be happier. That was my big announcement of the night. Like the five like must-have games on my list.
Here's the thing. What do they charge for these games? What kind of size of games are they? You can't if it's just Crazy Taxi again from a gameplay perspective, you can't charge £70 for that. Like it's just not possible. What is this? Well, it's not a package, they're like in different stages. Are these like £30 games? Are these bits and pieces? Like, what are we talking
about? It's a weird perception thing as well, isn't it? Because Shinobi looks like a 2D kind of cel-shaded, not cel-shaded, like a kind of hand-drawn 2D platformer. So just in terms of pure perception, people will have £20 at most in their head for that. People would struggle to justify like full price for a game that has like kind of hand-drawn 2D graphics, which is probably unfair, but that's just the way the gaming public works. It might actually be like a compilation of stuff, but probably not, because like Shinobi and Golden Axe might not be big enough IPs these days to sell on their own, certainly not full price AAA games. So I don't know if they're bundling them all together maybe, or if there's going to be a bunch of games with different price points, because Jet Set Radio looks like it could be more involved. Crazy Taxi, if they put enough in it, they could get away with it. If there's an arcade mode and then a proper mission mode where you do actual, which plays less like Crazy Taxi but has like actual meat to it, then maybe they could get away with it. But certainly like Golden Axe and stuff. My phone's going wild as if.
They've just announced even all these games are cancelled, I'm afraid.
Oh, well, just ignore everything I said then. it's exciting. I'm curious to see what the price points are. I'm curious to see more of them, because the brief glimpses that I got are Streets of Rage and Golden Axe. It made me wary, because I like my beat-em-up, so those need to be solid, but so I'll need to see more of those. But generally, positive.
Hopefully this can be Sega's... the start of Sega's like Capcomification of their stuff, where they get this big like this golden era of reboots and remakes of their, because I mean Sega's in a weird position where their Atlas stuff is brilliant, the Yakuza stuff is really kicking on, and Sonic is Sonic, but like stuff outside of that they don't seem to be massively excelling.
And it could be just like it can be like their Capcomification, because they won't release any Mega Man games either.
Big news, Skull and Bones finally gets a release date.
Finally, man.
Yo, motherfucking ho. The game is apparently slated to release on February 16th, 2024. Is it?
Aye, why not?
I think this might actually be it, sadly. I think the dream might be dead.
I think it might happen, but there's who'd take a punt on it at this stage? Like you've got to wait and see what the feedback is to it, because it's either a case of the ultimate Miyamoto quote, which apparently he didn't ever actually say, and they've just delayed this and delayed this and delayed this until it's the greatest game ever made, or they've reached a point where we need to punt this out before it becomes Duke Nukem forever. Like, let's just kind of rip the plaster off, cut our losses, sell however many we sell instead of churning more money into development for this. So it's going to be curious to see which way it lands on. I'm inclined to think it's the latter, but I'm happy to be pleasantly surprised. But I can't see a lot of people taking a 70 quid punt on it. I think you'll find a lot of people just pirate it. Don't do that.
We'll never beat your pieces of great joke from last time we talked about
pieces of great.
Then talked about the shite. Next up, Capcom has announced Monster Hunter Wilds, the next game in the main series of Monster Hunter, seemingly a bit of a follow-up to Monster Hunter Worlds. PS5, Xbox Series X, and PC in 2025. This was the show closer. Chris, you're not a big Monster Hunter man. I am a Monster Hunter Worlds man, but my love for the series kind of ends there, more or less. Do you think this is a weird one to close on, or do you think this was significantly bombshelly, even though everyone knew it was coming?
It is a weird one. Like, it's significantly bombshelly for a very specific set of people. Like you say, people knew it was coming, so I would have thought Blade would have been a bigger bombshell, because just purely in terms of the fact that nobody was expecting it. It's like Monster Hunter is one of those games that the people who love Monster Hunter will love it, and everyone else who doesn't would struggle to even get excited for it. A new Final Fantasy game gets announced. I don't play a lot of Final Fantasy these days, but I can still be excited for it when I see the trailer, because I get what that means and what people are going to get out of a new Final Fantasy. And I see a new Monster Hunter trailer, I just go, all right, it's more Monster Hunter. Like, people who are into it will be into it. So it was a kind of interesting final one, because it's not the kind of final announcement that was going to have all the audience jumping up and down going, oh, I can't believe it. So yeah, I'm curious to see the game when it comes out, even though it's 2025. But it was a weird one, a weird note to end on, I think.
I think that game will probably end up being banging, because Capcom really can't put a foot wrong at the minute. But yeah, I would have maybe shuffled the deck slightly. Mm-hmm. But cool to have that finally announced. I cannot believe we got another Hellblade trailer without a proper date. That's absolutely insane to me. It's got a 2024 release window still. It looks the part. Like, oh my god, the graphics look insane and stuff like that. But what's going on? What's going on with this? Why can't they just give some kind of date? Do you think this is a back half of next year job?
Probably. I mean, surely if it was the first half, they would have had something by now. But it's like, I don't know. It's one of those games where it's just like, guys, you just got to put your trust in them and hope that it's going. I've no reason to believe that it's not going well. Development. So like they showed with the previous game that they know their stuff, they know their onions. But it's like, okay, well, whenever it's ready, it's ready. If this gets pushed back to 2025 later, it's going to be like, okay. But I think we're looking at back half of 2024 now. Like, otherwise, they would have said like April, May, even they would have been able to put like a pin on that. But I'm inclined to think it's at least summer now.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Again, trailer looked great. And that kind of capped off what I thought was a pretty strong night for Xbox. I mean, they had their logos with all the Atlas stuff, really positioning themselves with that after having so long of having no Persona games. Obviously, they had OD and Blade. Now, in what is a pretty good representation of the Game Awards itself, I've not spoken about any of the awards yet, so let's let's get on to them. The big one, Game of the Year, Baldur's Gate 3 took that home in what was a bit of a theme. Alan Wake 2 took home Best Game Direction, Best Narrative, Best Art Direction. Best Score to Music was Final Fantasy 16. I'm going through these as quickly as Jeff did. Best Audio Design, Hi-Fi Rush. Best Performance, Neil Newbon for Baldur's Gate 3. Innovation and Accessibility was Forza Motorsport. Games for Impact was Tachiya. Best ongoing game was Cyberpunk 2077.
Well, like best outgoing game.
Yeah, best ongoing into the bin game. Look, that game's good now, but it wasn't, and we should never forget how bad it was. Best community support, Baldur's Gate 3. Best independent game, Dave the Old Sea of Stars. Best debut indie, Cocoon. Best mobile game, Honkai Star Rail. VR AR was Resident Evil Village VR. Best action game was Armored Core. Best action game and best action adventure game. A very needless category, in my opinion. Legends of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom won best action adventure, which I believe was its only award, which was a bit of a surprise, but I suppose this was Baldur's Gate's, this really was Baldur's Gate's kind of show. Best RPG, Baldur's Gate 3. Fighting game went to Street Fighter 6. Family game went to Mario Brothers Wonder. Sim strategy went to Pikmin 4. Sports racing went to Forza. Best multiplayer, Baldur's Gate 3. Best adaptation was The Last of Us. Most anticipated game, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Player's voice was Baldur's Gate 3. Content creator of the year was Iron Mouse. Robot of the year. Best esports game was Valorant. Best esport, you'll love this, Chris, right? Best esports athlete was Lee Baker Sang-hyuk. Were you happy about that? Do you think he deserved that after all this time?
Listen, it's something that the Faker camp has been long clamoring for, as far as I know. So I'm sure they'll be dancing in the streets of Faker tonight.
Best esports team, JD Gaming. Congrats to the whole sportswear company. Best esports coach, Christine Potter Chi. Go ahead, Chris. You take this one.
No, I'm not going to tell this joke because you fucking rinsed it off me last night. just let everyone know how the mechanics of this dynamic work is that I say something funny on chat, and then can Tea Leaf here jumps on Twitter and then basically writes what I say, and then everyone goes, "Oh, brilliant!" and he gets 3 likes for it, and we move on.
Yeah, well worth it. Best esports event.
What I did actually say was it was good to see Potter winning something.
There you go. 10 points to Gryffindor. 2023 League of Legends World Championship won the best esports event. Let's not debate the winners or the losers, because congratulations to those who won. Commiserations to those who lost. The real talking point was when people got on stage, they were presented with a Geritron 3000 counting down from 30, and once the 30 seconds elapsed, they had a big sign which is truly one of my favorite memes of the year, which read, "Please wrap it up." Chris, how do you think this was handled? Because it has not gone down well at all.
It was handled poorly. I think a lot of the event was kind of tone deaf, especially considering a lot of the kind of build up before it. There's a lot of people like kind of putting pressure on, saying like, you need to say something about, because you said something about Ukraine in the past, you need to say something about the Israel-Palestine situation. A lot of people saying you need to say something about all the job losses. Nothing was kind of really said there for this year. So there was a lot of kind of, not even before you get to the speeches, there's a lot of kind of underground kind of rumbling that's like, this isn't, you're not like kind of addressing the issues that a lot of people are talking about just now. It can't just be like a proper 100% celebration, pretend everything's shiny and bright when it isn't. When it came to the speeches, it was like, yeah, like I get that last year one speech went on a really long time, and so one of the directions must have been make sure the speeches are kept short this time, but that's taking the piss a bit, like how short the speeches, especially because we got that Kojima thing lasted ages. We got amateur vaudeville routine with Jeff Keighley and Gonzo the Muppet. We had fucking Mackie turn up going, shut up to the crowd every 2 minutes.
I'm such a gamer, my kids are going to love this. Yeah. Simu Leo turned up and talked about his broken foot for about fucking 10 years.
Seriously, guys, I got to tell you, is when you get old, I could have told you that. Your legs get fucked when you're older.
Oh, you played StarCraft, mate. Well done. Fucking go on with it.
So it's like, there was a lot of, really kind of, fair play to Chalamet, came out and said his lines and got on with it. Then came out and go, guys, when I was a 12-year-old boy, I used to love, I don't even know if that's his accent, but it is now. ultimate professional. Came out and said,
Modded Controllers 360 respects the craft of video games. Exactly. He came out and he said, here's the orchestra and then here's the winners. That's it.
Even McConaughey got on with it. Like, eventually he came out at first and was going, I'm not going to say my catchphrase. Nobody wanted you, mate. What are you in? And then so they said, here's what I'm in. Thanks very much, Gaff. So he even did that, but all the other stuff was like, there was a lot of non-award winners wanting to be the star of the show, which basically is the Game Awards anyway, let's face it. So it was a bit of a shame that the Game Awards being given out at the Game Awards were given the least priority.
It was...
Someone on Twitter summed up the best, basically saying that they think Gonzo got more time than pretty much most of the award winners.
And I mean, Gonzo, of all people, does deserve it, but like
He does, he's one of the better Muppets.
It's a weird look, and it's always the case where it's, let's get these celebrities out, and if they just came out, if they did the Timmy, they just came out and said, lovely to be here, here's the nominees, fine, they get eyes on the show, mm-hmm. They feel the need to come out and do a bit, they feel the need to come out and like do a bit of crowd work with all these like journalists sitting in the crowd being like, hey, brilliant. Yeah. Oh, who are you? Are you the Falcon, mate? A heavy kale.
I'm one of you. It's frustrating that we're still at this point in 2023, like some 45 years into the games industry, that people still have to come out and justify the fact that they play games. You don't sit and watch the Oscars and somebody comes out and says, I can't tell you how much I love films, mate. Like my kid loves movies. And I love
Nolan Bushnell comes out and starts talking about it.
My kid loves Madagascar, and I sit and watch it with him all the time. It's like, you don't have to come out and justify that you like games. If you're here, you're either turning up for a paycheck or you're turning up because you like games. And so either way, get on with it. Like, we don't care. Nobody's sitting there going, fuck, man, I wonder if Anthony Mackie loves games. Because like that's gonna change so much.
It was... I wonder if this will all just be kind of swept under the carpet, and it's like, oh, most viewed Game Awards ever, most engaged. It's like when WWE used to have shit pay per views, they'd be like, it's the most tweeted about pay per view ever. It generated the most sign ups to the WWE network. But
half the tweets of people say this is shit.
Yeah, there was literally protesters outside the show, and it was just, there was no mention of the thousands and thousands of people laid off this year. No mention of Palestine. Like, it was,
this is the thing. There's going to be backlash now, and there will be stories like following. There'll be statements, and there'll be that sort of stuff, and it's going to get quite uncomfortable to the point that Keighley's either going to have to address it and say either sorry we didn't say anything, or some sort of awkward batting it away, or he just continues to ignore it and it continues to build, because it feels like, not that I'm a soothsayer or getting my crystal ball out, but I think we're going to see some statements later today from some of those groups saying, where were you, what happened? So and rightly
so. I imagine that is the case. Yeah, I agree. Final thoughts on the Game Awards. I thought that I thought Xbox had a good show. PlayStation had a decent show. They also showed Rise of Ronin, which we didn't really talk about, but that looked decent. And Nintendo might as well have not been there.
I mean, having lived through the Rise of Ronin, when Boyzone kind of grew over back in the day, I'm curious to see their interpretation of it. It didn't seem to be a lot of Mikey in that trailer from Boyzone, but I'll
Mikey from the rock group Boyzone. Little vault fast here. Do you know Mikey starred in an Irish kung fu movie called Fatal Deviation?
Fatal Deviation is an awful name for an Irish kung fu movie. So, surely there's a pun there.
You should look this up. There's a great review of it by the OSW boys. But Fatal Deviation. There's a tournament and Trim in Ireland. It's a Beltane tournament, and if they win, Mikey plays a gangster, and they're all sitting around cutting up cocaine with a Tesco club card, and they're like, why do we want to win this tournament? And your man Mikey goes, because stupid, it's very important to the people of Trim. It's very important to the people of Trim that we win this kung fu tournament. Wonderful, wonderful film. Get that looked up. And it contains the iconic line, you're making me look bad, and that's not good.
I tell you my favourite line from a regional movie. don't know if anyone's ever seen a shot
favorite
at...
Favourite line from a regional movie.
A Shot at Glory, which is a Scottish football movie starring Robert De Valle, which is the ultimate... What a film. Robert De Valle attempts to put on a Highlands accent and sounds more like Apu from The Simpsons.
Ren, hello.
There we go.
Ren didn't appreciate the Robert De Valle slander.
He's a Godfather stan. For those not familiar with it, and I don't know why you wouldn't be, because it's such a popular film, A Shot at Glory is about Robert De Valle managing a Highland football team because Michael Keaton, who is the chairman, wants to relocate the team to Ireland as if it's an American sports team, not realizing that's not how it works. And he's like, if we get the audience, the attendance is low enough, we can relocate Kilnacky FC to Ireland. And Duval putting on his awful Highlands accent, says, you cannot allow it. There's people, there's families here that love this team. I cannot allow it. So they're getting beat during one game. Like, Raith Rovers are always the team they're playing. Like, the actual players of Raith Rovers. Mm-hmm. So you get Didier Gatt and all that is always playing for the other team. And they're losing 1-0 at halftime. Somebody nutmegs the goalie. And they're all sitting dejected like at halftime, and the goalie's got us like a stammer, and he goes, I'm sorry, gaffer, but I should have closed my legs. And Duval goes, no, son, your mother should have.
That is good film. To be fair,
highly recommended. Ali McCoyston is best role.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I thought the Game Awards were fine. They were about, I would maybe say, if you're encompassing from an award show perspective, they weren't good at all. But from a winter E3 perspective, which is kind of what they positioned themselves as, I thought they were pretty decent. What about yourself?
It was fine. Fine, I think, is the word. There was one or two, like Blade was the big one, I think, for me. Sega stuff on a personal level was the big announcement of the night. That aside, there was no E3 size bombshells, which isn't to be expected, to save all that for either the Summer Game Fest or kind of the big three's own shows now. So I wasn't expecting bombshells, so we didn't get many bombshells. It was fine. It was one of those ones that's like 3 hours long, and there's maybe about 45 minutes worth of good stuff, and all the rest of it was like stuff you look at and go, that looks all right, and then you instantly
forget. Or stuff you look at and you go, oh, that's what paid for this theatre then, when they advertised a Google phone for 2 hours.
There's a lot of games I looked at. I'll need to go back at some point, because obviously when we cover these things, there was a two-man operation last night, so when you go on VGC and see the numerous stories that are up, appreciate that only two people did that. You don't really get a chance to watch it properly, because as one... Basically, when a trailer starts and you can tell it's not a AAA game or something that we would give priority coverage to, we're concentrating on writing, so we don't get a chance to properly look at the stuff that's on. And then the next day when it calms down a bit, that's when I rewatch it and kind of look at stuff that I might have missed and go, oh, actually, that one looks quite good now. So I still need to do that bit. So I'm sure there's a lot of stuff there that'll catch my eye when I watch it again, but like smaller stuff that might not have got the column inches in well over time, because maybe... 4 to 6 months time when that game comes out, you'll then get people saying, oh, by the way, this was really good, and this is good, and this is good. And so we'll see. I think in hindsight, when you go back in a couple of months time, you look back and go, yeah, that was quite a good one. But for now, it's like, it's all right. It passed a few hours.
It's also just get bad vibes based on all the other stuff, like based on the speeches and the speeches themselves were very good, but they just needed more time. That was the Game Awards. Small story, just to wrap it up. They showed the first trailer for Grand Theft Auto 6.
So they did, eh?
Yeah.
Excited.
It was leaked on Monday night prior to a Tuesday planned reveal. It appeared on X and low quality with a big Bitcoin logo on the front of it, which is just exactly how these things were destined to go. But to be fair to Rockstar, they were right on it. Mm-hmm. It was maybe 15 minutes between it getting leaked and them going, fuck it, here it is, let's just watch it. And it has not hurt them one jot, because it has broken basically every YouTube record you could measure it against. Yeah, by this point, everyone in the world has seen it. There's probably not tons more to say, apart from it's 2025, it looks ridiculous. Chris, I hear there's a lot of Easter eggs in this trailer, but if there was a way to kind of catalog them all, I haven't quite seen that though.
I mean, there's a few sites doing it, but I think you find one of the first to do it, and one of the feeder sites was VGC, whose writer was up to 1:30 in the morning, going through it frame by frame, looking for various Easter eggs and other hijinks. So I would highly recommend. If you Google GTA 6 Easter eggs and VGC is near the top, not quite the top, but skip the ones that are there. Go to VGC and see some rather humorous little tidbits.
Look, as we all found out this week, plagiarism doesn't matter. It's all just banter. So, like, what's the problem here?
I know.
I thought the trailer, when I first saw the trailer, it didn't do a lot for me. But then when you watch it in 4K, and you look at some screenshots and stuff like that, and you're like, Jesus Christ, the thing they are building here in terms of just density of city and stuff like that, it looks GTA, but like it looks Rockstar.
Only slight concern is that, and like to be clear, I'm 99% I'm up for it. I'll be there day one. My only slight concern is that a lot of the things in that trailer were like references to things in real life, and that doesn't feel like a very GTA thing. They usually make their own kind of humorous things in here, which are kind of based on real life. It's like satire in real life society, but not quite as like on the nose as like, here's the tattooed Joker guy.
Yeah.
Here's the woman with two hammers in her hands. Like the fact that people were doing comparison videos with the real memes, the real viral videos they were based on, was that feels slightly not Rockstar-y that they would take from other sources so readily. But that aside, I'm well up for it. I forget her name, the female protagonist looks like an absolute badass.
Lucia or something like that.
She looks like she's going to be cool as fuck.
I agree, but I kind of hope that those bits were like tone rather than stuff that will actually
game. I don't think you'll be chasing down the Joker guy. It does feel like setting this is the kind of place you're going to type situation, rather than
they can't have a Trump. That's the main thing. Like they can obviously, I mean, Florida politicians is like a deep enough well to mine, but they can't have like Johnny Bump, who's an ex-president who lives in a big golf course in Florida. But I mean, I am confident that they will nail it, because they always do. Like GTA's satire is weird because it ages quite quickly, but I think that's because it's so on the money when it releases that it's obviously going to age pretty quickly. But the interesting thing to me is they're doing a love story for a GTA. That's pretty unique, especially coming from a game like GTA 5, which was so cynical, so machismo, so gangster.
I hope they're just not looking for a reason to kind of legally put hot coffee in it. Just like, well, fine that we can do this and be allowed. It's a weird one in terms of the satire. I think it's going to be interesting to see how that lands, because it's been 12 years since the last one, and the kind of social media landscape has changed quite a lot in 12 years, where you can't move for satirists now and funny websites and people going wink wink every time. The second something happens in the news, there's a million people on Twitter cracking jokes about it. Satire isn't as unique or as kind of, oh, these guys are poking fun at the establishment as it used
to
be.
It's not Have I Got News For You anymore.
Exactly, it's a lot of people do it. You can get it anywhere on Twitter, so it needs to be like at the top of its game, and it needs to have the gameplay back up, which it always does. But this may be a GTA that relies less on wink, wink, wink. This is what society's like, and more on. This is what society's like in the context of where you are, but get on with the story.
I mean, they've proven they can tell an amazing story without any of that shit. Like in Red Dead, mm-hmm. you can't make references to some bit of ye olde patter that everyone gets, and they can still have amazing characters. Yeah. So yeah, it's
except for, it's nice. Except it's like, remember racism? Yeah. Like, oh, I do.
Remember the Ku Klux Klan? Mind those lads. How long do we see it again? I think 6 months, 8 months before we get another. They're so good at like their. It would just be their trailer two. And then I think between trailer two and trailer three, they'll let people play it. And then that will be trailer three will be just before it comes out, and then that'll be it.
They need to do the GTA Online trailer where they go.
So that is the question. What did they do with GTA Online?
They have to just they'll keep it going for people who are kind of committed to that, because as long as people continue spending money on it, they'll keep it active. Even if they reduce the number of servers as the number of players like comes down, the number of connections. But I mean, a world this size, surely it's going to be bigger than GTA 4's kind of environment was. If the rumors are that it's taking in a big deal, a big chunk of the state rather than just Vice City, Leonidas, or whatever the hell it's called.
Leonida, I think.
Yeah, Leonida. Then yeah, it's that massive open world isn't just being made for single players. So the this is going to be the new GTA Online as well. It's just, yeah, what do they do with it? How do they sunset the original one? Do they just kind of let the two of them run side by side, or do they pull the plug right away?
I think they go side by side and they rebrand GTA Online to like GTA Online Los Santos, and you get GTA Online Leonida,
yeah.
And they just run them concurrently. And then naturally, as time goes on, Los Santos will like quieting off. But who knows? Maybe they have plans to silo off GTA Online to its own thing, where you can go like between locations, because yeah, that's always been the big dream, to go between GTA maps and stuff like that.
One thing,
even if it's just a hopper to contain both of them, like
yeah. The one thing I want is for them to allow you to play it solo without any pissing around, like GTA the Online.
Yeah.
Because like Sea of Thieves, just that's one of the big announcements this week that wasn't at the Game Awards, is that Sea of Thieves have now added their solo mode where you can turn off other players and not have to worry about other people. That's what stopped me from playing Sea of Thieves to this point, is I'm not interested in other people in boats coming by and acting like fannies. I just want to try these pirate adventures. And if GTA Online is going to have more missions that aren't in the main game and is constantly evolving with new stories and new content, everything, I want to be in on it. But as a single player gamer, I don't necessarily want to be in on it with other people. Like I'll give you my wee microtransactions every now and then. Like I'm a willing paying customer, but not if I have to share it with arseholes. Basically, because like it's with a game with a user base that big, and it's going to be like the best selling game ever. There will be arseholes left, right, and centre, and I don't have the time for that. So
yeah, you can do private lobbies in GTA 5, but yeah, they need to have a more codified way of doing it that is just like, because there's tons and tons of missions and cutscenes and like characters from old GTAs that they brought back exclusively for online,
and especially because the rumors were that there was story DLC planned. And was then scrapped so they could work more on GTA Online. It's like, well, give us that story, because obviously a lot of, like you say, GTA Online's got a lot of kind of callbacks and stuff. And unless you're the GTA up until now has been a strictly single player experience, so the fan base was built on single player games from the very first game on the PC and the PlayStation all the way up to GTA 4 and its DLCs and then GTA 5. So don't now like cordon off a chunk of it for multiplayer, because like a lot of people aren't interested. As successful as GTA Online is, its player count isn't as big as the number of people who bought the game.
So
just give them access to it somehow, even if the experience is lessened a bit. Let us play those extra bits of story.
That is their greatest challenge. I have no doubt GTA 6 will be like a 5 out of 5 single player experience. Like I would put the house on that. Like it's going to be a ridiculous tech marvel. Like it's only announced for a PS5 and Xbox at the minute, but I assume by that point we're maybe talking about pro versions of these consoles, and Like, is it going to run like GTA 5 ran on PS3? Like, is that what we're talking here? Is it that far advanced, or are they hedging their bets a little bit? Because it has to run on the Series S. So, like, it has to kick a ball on the Series S.
It has to run on Series S, but also don't forget that it will eventually run on the PlayStation 7 when the third version comes out. So, yeah, some people might just want to wait for that one.
I look forward to being at your wake and getting a text being like, the GTA 7 trailer has leaked, get on it.
Just like hear a ping from inside the coffin.
Yeah, when Andy's just like a head in a jar for Futurama because he's drank all his organs away. Any more for any more? It's been a hell of a week.
No, it has been a busy week. I can't really think of anything. I'm sure we're missing something major. Let me just quickly look at the website because
While you do that, my highlight of the week was the trailer for the new Pokemon DLC because it has really hype music in it and they're bringing back all the legendaries. I was sitting showing it to my partner, being like, "Oh, look at this, man! Ho's back, Lugia's back," which was exciting for me. That's out next week. So is the God of War DLC. Final Fantasy 16 DLC dropped last night. That's available now. Mm-hmm. Baldur's Gate is available on Xbox now. So a couple of little drops there. But I think that's so the...
Just skimming here, Alone in the Dark was delayed again, is a bit... Mortal Kombat 1's getting story DLC confirmed. The Zelda's movie director says it wants to make it like a live-action Miyazaki movie. Is it? DEI.
Good luck, mate.
That's about it.
Oh, wait a minute. And finally, the most and finally story of the week. Outgoing PlayStation boss Jim Ryan presented with PS1 style PS5 at Thank You Jim Party. Images were posted on social media by Sony Interactive Entertainment staff of Jim Ryan's retirement party. Not only were there cookies with Jim Ryan's face on it, he was presented with a PlayStation 5, which is modeled after the original PlayStation, including a box and a DualSense. And this isn't just controller plate. This isn't just the console plates, because they changed the color of like the main middle of the PlayStation, which is a first. Mm. Ignore the hilarity of a Thank You Jim party, which is they obviously loved him. Like, the idea that he was sacked is hilarious to me, because as Chris Drink said on this podcast, they called him fucking Uncle Jim at PlayStation UK. Like, the man knows what he's up to. That it's the 30th anniversary of PlayStation 1 next year. Are they going to actually make this PS5, PS1 a thing?
Yeah, they will. They did it with PS4, didn't they?
Yeah, they did it with PS4 and it was fucking impossible to get. That is like my dream console, that PlayStation 1 PS4.
They'll do it again and make it just as scarce and like have everyone... It's buzz in it. It builds buzz for it. So it'll happen.
As long as they sell the controller separately like they did last time, because that controller with the correct coloured buttons and stuff is a bit of me.
Here's another one. Here's a talking point for the kids to walk away with and discuss amongst themselves.
Talking point.
It's something that's been like kind of playing in my head since this was first announced, and now that we've had an update this week where Nintendo has shown the first footage of the Donkey Kong Country part of kind of Nintendo World and Universal Studios. Who gives a shit? Like, outside, like, it's weird that Super Mario is such an enormous franchise and you get it. You see a Mario World and you go, yep, that's the one. Donkey Kong Country is far more niche. And I get that they put Donkey Kong in the movie and they're pushing Donkey Kong in the movie, but this isn't Donkey Kong from the movie that you're getting a world based on. It's Donkey Kong Country. And you're seeing like some of the enemies from like the Wii game and the Switch game. And I'm like, kids don't talk about that. Kids don't talk about Donkey Kong Country. And it's like, I wonder how popular that land is going to be. I'm up for it. Personally, the old people like me will be up for it. And some kids will be up for it because it's Donkey Kong. But you wonder if that should have been a Zelda land or something. Mate, that's just...
The only Pokemon reason they haven't done this is because I think they have bigger plans for it. But yes, Pokemon land would be... See, like, Disney has been open about the fact that their biggest regret ever is that they never gave J.K. Rowling what she wanted to build that Harry Potter land, because it was Universal's, like, most successful land ever. Pokemon land is going to be, like, that times a million. Like, people are obviously super into Mario, but Pokemon is, like, a different thing. Yeah. So I have to assume, like, they've started incorporating Pokemon parades into Universal and stuff like that. They must have plans that are, like, beyond just an expansion or something
there's a lot of Pokemon. I went in the summer, there's lots of Pokemon stuff there, even though like you say, there's Pokemon was a specific part of the parade With all the other, there's all the Universal lands are represented in the parade. You'd have Snoopy and Hello Kitty and Mario, obviously, and the Minions. They're big in Japan, apparently. And then at the end, it was Pokemon, and it's like, well, okay, well, Pokemon isn't the event in Universal, so why are you pushing that? And you walk past all the food trucks, and it's like you can buy a Bulbasaur's arse with like a pastry in it. And it's like, well, they're really into Pokemon here, in Universal Studios specifically. So what's going on? It's a weird. I'm so excited for it. I'm desperate to go again and see it, but. I just wonder how popular it's going to be, because Donkey Kong Country really isn't, I don't think, is as big an IP as Nintendo thinks it is. Donkey Kong, yes. Donkey Kong Country, no.
The 30th anniversary of Pokemon is in 3 years, so maybe that's when they say, that's when they announce that it might be time to do something. Because, I mean, there's like 15 Pokemon centers in Japan. Like, it can sustain a real.
Are you thinking a separate theme park? Rather than just a section,
maybe on Universal property, but I think specifically because the Pokemon Company are so like, they're the only subsidiary of Nintendo that kind of has Nintendo by the balls. No. Like, Nintendo does what the Pokemon Company wants, not the other way around. So if the Pokemon Company are like, we don't want to just be like the Universal Studios featuring Pokemon, we want our own thing. Mm. In collaboration, like Miyamoto said, like, we wanted to do a park, but we don't know how to build a park, so we did it with Universal. Yeah. I'm sure Pokemon would be the same. But I think that's how they would do it. And I would be first in the queue. I'd be just battering every child in front of me to get on Charizard's ride.
Charizard's ride.
Anyway, let's wrap it up there for this Friday edition of VGC A Video Game Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at Jordan Midler, Chris at Scully1888. Thank you to Grant Kirkhope for the VGC Podcast theme song. He's over there. Grant's here, there, and everywhere. He never actually does any work. He does one song a year, and then that's it.
See the amount of royalties he makes on this podcast alone.
It's just saw the ukulele tunes. It's Andy sitting listening to them, crying in his shed. It's like, oh, what could have been? Now I'm running this shitty website. That's it. Send any questions, comments, and concerns to podcast@videogameschronicle.com, YouTube VGC, TikTok VGC_news. Until next time, say goodbye, Chris.
Goodbye, Chris.
Thank you for joining VGC for the Game Awards coverage. Go and read the website and tell us if any of it's English, because there's truly no way to know. But until then, deal it.
VGC, a video games podcast, is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.